Amen. Matthew chapter 6. Title of this morning's message is, What are alms? What are alms? The theme for the year of Victory Baptist Church is the year of alms. And I think it'd probably be good if that's the year of what this is, we should know what they are. That would help. What are alms? Here in Matthew chapter number 6, we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here, and he says, Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Now, something that really just kind of flabbergasts me a little bit is the fact that there were hypocrites, scribes, Pharisees most likely, who would actually have a trumpet sounded before them as they're on their way to give alms. Do-do-do-do! Here comes Mr. What's-His-Face. He is giving alms to the blind man, and yes, I'm going to give you these alms to help you so you can go see a doctor. Maybe you can get your eyes fixed. That's just the kind of person that I am, and more people should do this. So I just want everybody to know that alms is good, and you should do it because I do. You know, what was the purpose of him giving alms to that guy? For himself. Was he really giving it for the guy? No, he was doing it so that everybody could see him. Sounding a trumpet. Can you imagine Michael Jones walking down the middle of Sealands Grove blowing a trumpet, and here comes Andrew Routh behind him? Michael, you know, Mark is, make way for Andrew Routh. He's coming to give alms to First National Bank because they're in trouble. No. No, but how silly to blow a trumpet to give everybody's attention just to let you know you're going to be nice to somebody. And just hypocrisy. Because alms isn't about the giver. Alms, honestly, isn't even necessarily about the person it's being given to. Alms really is about Christ. It's really about God. And we'll see that in a little verses later. And obviously, you want to help people. But I think the purpose behind why you want to help them is what Jesus is focusing on here in Matthew chapter 6. And he says you have to be helping them with the right purpose. That man that went and blew the trumpet, he had his reward. His reward that his name got to be greater. His reward that he got to be more famous. But the right kind of almsgiving makes whose name greater? God's. Makes whose name more famous? God's. And so the Lord Christ here, he says, Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Now, something in my study here that I really just realized this last week, and I guess it was kind of a duh moment. Just kind of hit me like, oh, yeah, I guess it's kind of... Because I've been saying, you know, specifically alms, because it says here, don't let your left hand know what your right hand doeth, you know, and that which is done in all, that thine alms may be in secret, that Father seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I've been approaching alms as nobody can know. Nobody can know. But one problem with that, we'll see in another passage of Scripture here, is that the person who you give it to generally has to know. When the beggars are sitting out in the street and they're asking for alms, and you put alms in their hand, don't they know? Does that mean it's not alms? No, it's still alms. If you went and gave something to alms to the same person that the Pharisee or the hypocrite gave alms to, even if that person knew, it doesn't remove your reward. What removes your reward is if everybody else knows. And if everybody else finds out, that still doesn't remove your reward if that's not why you're doing it. And we'll see that in another passage of Scripture here in a minute, because what's obvious is that this man's alms came up to God even though everybody knew. It did not remove that man's reward in God's eyes because he was given it with the right reason and he wasn't trying to get reward for it. He wasn't making a big deal about it. He just saw a need and he helped. And what happens if someone helps you with the need? A lot of times you'll share that with someone else. Hey, I just praise the Lord, so-and-so, we needed some groceries and brother so-and-so came with a bag of groceries the other day. I mean, people are going to talk. You're going to know. And we're, because I was thinking, you know, how in the world in today's society can you do alms when everyone has a Ring doorbell? I mean, they see you come up. If you're going to leave groceries on their door, they see you, hey, bye, thank you. You know, you can't hardly do anything without anybody knowing. If you're going to send them cash in the mail, that's not a good idea. So you send them a check. Well, guess what? Your name's on the check. They know. So something kind of like a duh to me is that 99% of the time with almsgiving, somebody knows. That doesn't remove your reward with the Lord just because someone knows. So when you do alms, let not the left hand know what the right doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly, isn't saying nobody can know. What it's saying is, don't try to make it so that everybody does. If people find out, they find out, but you're not doing it for that. Your motives need to be pure. The Lord Jesus points out how not to do your alms. Alms should not be for the purpose of others to see you give alms. And 99% of the time, again, someone is going to see you give alms or hear about it. Generally, it's the one receiving the alms. So the weight of the admonition here in Matthew chapter 6 is not on people seeing your alms given, but on how you give alms, knowing people are going to see it. You know, if there's a blind man there and he's asking alms and he's got a bowl there, it's you digging in your pocket and as you go, just dropping something in and keep going. You gave alms to help the person. You know, people may have even seen it, but you're not blowing the trumpet and be like, oh, here, let me get out my wallet. Right? So it's not that people don't know. It's that you're not trying to make it known. Does that make sense? That was a revelation to me because I've been trying to do alms where nobody knows, but that's kind of hard. You don't do very many alms when nobody can know. It's hard to do alms when nobody knows. Are you with me? Somebody usually knows. When you do your alms, do it with simplicity. Don't make a big deal about it. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand doeth. Romans 12:8 says, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. So then that tells me what part of giving is secret? What percentage do you think of all the giving? You know, you got tithes, you got offerings, you got alms. What percentage do you think is completely 100% secret and nobody but you and God knows? I'd say a very small percentage. Maybe like 1%. Right? The tithes and the offerings in the Old Testament, you had to bring those to the door of the tabernacle, which was smack dab in the middle of Israel, in the camp of Israel, and everybody saw you bring your tithes and offerings. It wasn't a secret. You know, people that don't want people to know how much I put in the offering plate, that you're not giving alms. It's tithes and offerings, and it's not gonna, you know, you don't get any extra rewarded whether someone knows or doesn't know with your tithes and offerings, because that's just a commandment. It's alms specifically. You're not supposed to broadcast. But if we had a wave offering, you know they had wave offerings? You know when you wave it, guess where that's at? up in the air. And guess what that means? Everybody can see it. They'd have wave offerings, all right? I mean, heave offering. When you heave something in the air, guess what that means? Everybody can see it. So this idea that, man, when I put money in the offering plate, nobody needs to know that I'm putting money in the offering plate. Well, you're not giving alms. That's tithes and offerings. That's the commandment. Alms is extra. Alms is you having a soft heart and looking out for the needs of others. And when God says, help that person, you do. And even if someone else sees you, you're not doing it for that. You're not trying to, you can almost draw more attention trying to hide it. Than just maybe, you know. So really only about 1% of giving is possible to be done completely in secret. When you give alms, listen, when you give alms, it is using what God has given to you to help someone else who needs it. And that's a key. When you give alms, you're helping someone who needs it, not who wants it. You know, if you want to go around the church and be like, yeah, just to let you know, we have this need. Well, I guess you could do that. But if you go around the church and say, yeah, I want a new four-wheeler. Anybody want to give me alms for a four-wheeler? That would be a want. Unless you're using it for a main transportation to get back and forth to work. I don't know. That's a want, not a need. Right? So alms specifically is to help someone with a need. Listen to the definition of alms. Alms is anything given gratuitously. Gratuitously means no strings attached. Gratuitously means you don't got to pay them back. It's not a loan. Anything given gratuitously to relieve the poor as money, food, or clothing, otherwise called charity. Alms are given to relieve the poor. Now, in America, you know, honestly, all of Americans, no matter where you live, are in the top 1% in the world. I remember we went on our senior trip in high school. We went to Europe. I'm in Paris, France. I am in the capital of France. You would think first world country, right? This is Paris, France. You know, they've got what we've got, kind of a mentality. They're England. They're the allies. And we were in a youth hostel or youth hotel. It was the last day, and we're coming back. We're going to go to the airport, and all I had was francs left, and I didn't want to change from francs back to American dollars because they're going to take money from me. So I'm just going to spend all the money that I have in francs. So I'm down there at the breakfast buffet. You know how you're at a hotel in America and they have a continental breakfast? How much do you eat? Until you are full, right? America, we paid for it. Bless God, we're going to get our money's worth, right? You go to a buffet, same thing. So they had little trays and this went around the little thing and I got an apple for the road and I was going to eat this yogurt and you got to understand, I was a senior in high school. I was a grown boy, so hungry, you know. And just layered my plate of cereal just like I would back in America. And I get up, and I had enough francs for it, and I get up to the pay station, and I give the man the money, and the man gives me this look and starts talking to me in French. I'm looking back at him, and I'm like, what? What? And French people do not like to talk in English. They figure if you're in their country, you need to talk French, even if they know English. So I don't know what he's trying to say. I'm like, what? What? Here's the money. I got the money. No. I'm like, no, really, it's enough. I counted. No. So someone comes over and translates, or else he started speaking English. I can't remember which one it was. He says, too much. I'm like, I have enough money for it. No, too much. Put back. So another person came over and says, you have too much food you need to put back or there won't be enough food for the rest of the guests. I'm like, they don't have enough food for everybody? This is France. They don't live like we live in France. You can't just take all the food that you want because they don't have enough. They go to the marketplace every day and, you know, just enough for today. They don't have the freezers and the fridges and, you know, I mean, you go to the average American person out in the rural country, he could live for like a year and a half with the roadkill in his freezer. Right there, Brother Yodi? You know, but they don't do that over there, deep freezes as much as they do here. They get all the fresh thing. I was shocked. If you're in America, you live, you're in the top 1% in the world. I was just looking at America and China, approximately the same land mass. The GDP in America, there's 330 million people in America, there's 1.2 billion in China. And when you take the GDP and divide it amongst American, the average GDP for American is $74,000 per American is how much the GDP America makes. We produce enough for $74,000 per person. The average GDP in China is $12,000 per person, and they're the third economy in the world, second economy in the world, third mightiest army. People in China don't live like you. When's the last time you went without a meal? Without wanting to. I'm not talking about working through lunch. You know, you get working and you're like, oh, I'm not hungry, I'll keep going. I'll eat double later, right? No, we're talking like you're in the top 1%. You're living well. Even if you're poor in America, you're living well. And there comes this kind of a stigma, I think, a lot of times in America, I don't want charity. Well, what is that? That's pride. So you mean if God touched somebody's heart because they saw a need that you have, and that person comes to you answering God's touch on their heart to help you, you're going to refuse the help? Whose help are you refusing it from? It's like that one guy that's drowning out in the middle of the ocean. Lord, please rescue me. Please save me. Here comes this ship, and they're going to throw out a life preserver, and like, here, grab a life preserver. No, I pray to the Lord. He's going to save me. And the ship keeps going. Then, Lord, please save me. And a submarine, you know, surfaces next to him. And like, hey, climb aboard. We'll take it. No, I ask for the Lord to save me. You go ahead and go. Finally, the Coast Guard helicopter comes down. They come down the basket. Come on, get the basket. No, I prayed to ask the Lord to save me. You go on ahead. He's going to save me. And then the guy drowns. Well, Lord, answer your prayer 3 times. But because it came in the form of a person, you didn't recognize it was God using them. We got to be careful about our pride. Do you know it's okay to be poor? You know, every single one of us should be poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Isn't that what it says? Or you know why? Because when you need, when you're spiritually needy, God can fill you. When you're spiritually needy, you're willing to reach out to God for something. If you're not poor in spirit, and you're not in spirit, spiritually, if you're not poor in spirit, then you're not going to grow because you think you've arrived. Be careful rejecting someone else. Someone else's almsgiving and love and charity. Because something else you're robbing them of something. You know what you're robbing them of? A blessing. Because he says there at the end of Matthew, he said, I'll reward you openly. So if God touches someone's heart to help you, or God touches your heart to help someone else, do it. Do it, and don't say I don't want anything, or I don't need help, or I don't want to do that, because God sent somebody to help you. Why? He cares about you. God cares about you. God loves you. You know, alms are given to relieve the poor. And this is what it means, okay? Alms meet the need of someone who cannot meet that need themselves. And maybe they can later on, but at that point in time, they cannot meet that need themselves. And you're able to help them meet that need themselves, meet that need at that time. Okay? There's nothing wrong with that. Alms isn't simply giving a gift to somebody. Alms isn't, you know what? Let's see, I want to give some alms. I want to give to somebody. I want to give some alms to somebody. You know, Brother Scott's a nice guy. I like him, and he's got a great personality. I think I'll just give him something. That's great that you want to give Brother Scott something, and please do. I mean, if the Lord's touched your heart. But just because you want to give him something for just because, that's a gift. That's charity. That's not alms. Unless you know he has a need. Or unless God says, hey, you just got a bonus from work for $5,000. Wouldn't that be nice? Let me know where you work. You just got a bonus for $5,000. I want you to give $300 to Scott Kessner. Oh, okay, Lord. That's God telling you he has a need by putting him on your mind and giving you a number and say, give Scott $300. Not that you are poor and need $300, but you wouldn't turn $300 down, you know. But just let's let our pride get in our way here, folks. If God lays him on your heart, then obviously he has a need. You may not know the need. God knows the need. He's going to use you to fill it. And guess who, you know, God met his need, but you are going to get rewarded for that. Now, I don't think that you give just for the reward. I think that's a bonus. I think you give because you love God. Amen. And he's given to us. And he's going to use us to be able to help somebody else. Just think of that. Can we ever repay God? Have you ever wanted to? Try? Have you ever thought, man, I wish I could do something? There's been times I thought, man, I wish there's some way I could do, but you can't. You can't repay. But you know what's nice is when he calls upon you to help somebody in need, and he's going to use you to do that. It's not that you're repaying him, not that you can, but it's nice to be used by the Lord to help others. Alms, okay, look, so it's not simply a gift. Trying to find the sentence of it. Okay, so let me ask you this. So could alms be given to someone who's wealthy? Alms. If they had a need, but if they're wealthy, they really don't have a need. They can meet that need. Now, if someone were wealthy and lost their wealth and had a need, yes, you could be giving them alms. But if you give something to someone who's wealthy, it's not considered alms. If they can meet their own need. Does this make sense? I'm trying to help you and I think I'm confusing. If someone can meet their need themselves, right? And they have an abundance. Do they need you to give something for their needs? No. An alms is given to meet a need. That's what alms is. Now, if someone is broken down the side of the road and they need someone to help them change a tire, you know, I guess you could. That could be alms. You're stopping to help them change a tire, just because they're wealthy or not. Someone's got to be able to get out physically and change a tire. Let's say an 86-year-old lady is broken down in the backside of Timbuktu, and she's got a flat tire, and she's not going to be able to get out and change it, and she doesn't have cell service, so she can't get a hold of AAA or, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there, and you pull up on that, and you change the lady's tire, would that be alms? Yeah. Could she meet that need herself? No. So you could help people who are wealthy, too, with alms, but generally speaking, it's not just giving things out. Just because you give things out doesn't mean it's alms. It might be a gift, it might be charity, but it isn't necessary. It's not alms unless it meets a need. That doesn't mean don't help people who are wealthy. You can still help someone who has the financial means to pay someone else to do it because of charity, because of love. But it wouldn't be alms. We're talking specifically about alms. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 7. Second Thessalonians 3:7, for yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you, to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded, that if ye would not work, what? Neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. So if you didn't work, you weren't supposed to eat. And they used this with the pilgrims when they came over. There's some guys that weren't going to work. And I think it was John Standish who said, okay, if you're not going to work and help us do the crops or do guard duty or help build the houses, then you're not going to eat either. And guess what? They started working. But if you don't work, neither should you eat. So listen to these statements. And I want to be very careful as I say this. Please understand what I'm saying. Alms should not be given to those who are able to take care of themselves but refuse to. We went into a project area in Malvern, Arkansas, assisted housing, living. Nothing wrong with that. But we went and knocked on this door, and a lady had called the church and asked for someone to stop by because she needed to talk to somebody. So I walked in to this apartment. Is a project area. I don't know if you know, familiar with any city projects or not, but I walked in and it was wood floor, nice wood floor. One of those nice, she had a nicer refrigerator than I did, you know, with the pull-out freezer on the bottom, and this was almost 20 years ago. She had a 54-inch screen TV before they were cheap. She had nice leather couches. She had, it looked like I was in a wealthy person's home. And she sat down, we sat down, and she started to talk about how she needed money to buy something. And I'm thinking in the back of my mind, man, I'm making $19,000 a year. I got three kids to support and a wife. You know, she is living high in the cable television. You know, how much does that cost a month? At least $50, right? All the bells and whistles, and she's asking me for money to help with her need. Now, let's be honest. Did she really have a need? No. She could have sold that fridge, got still a nice one cheaper, and had $1,000 left over still to help with her needs. She could have sold that 54-inch screen television and got a 32-inch, which is what we had at my house, and still had $500 left over to meet her needs. And I looked at someone who was using people's generosity, abusing people's generosity to feed their wants. I mean, she had food through food assistance, nothing wrong with that, but she had all of her bills taken care of. She really didn't have any needs. She was abusing people's generosity. And generally, it's people who abuse other people's generosity that hurts and abuses our compassion and generosity. When we give to someone and they see them abuse it, there was a man who came to our church, and he approached me. He gave me this long story. Just had a house fire. They just moved to Sunbury. They need help. They need clothes. They need all this. And, you know, if you could help me with this. And he says, really, what we need mostly is groceries. And we didn't really have a food bank at the time. He said, if I could just get a Wise gift card from you, we'll do that. So we gave him like a $100, $150 Wise gift card. I usually don't shop at Wise, but that particular week, I went to Wise and shopped at Wise. And lo and behold, that gentleman was ahead of me in the line. And he didn't see me, and he wasn't right in front of me. He was ahead of me in the line, and he was buying cartons of cigarettes, and he pulls out the Wise gift card and buys cigarettes. You know, that hurts your generosity. That hurts your compassion. And so you need to pray about it before you give someone money. Instead, try to meet the need. You know, if they need food, give them food. I'd be very, and listen, please, I'm not trying to dry up your generosity. I feel like this the year of alms, we need to make sure our money goes to people that need it. Amen. And it's really going to help. Amen. So I remember the first week, and this is a longer message, bear with me. I remember the very first week I went up to Chicago, Illinois in a bus route, We got off, the bus dropped us off, we stepped out in the parking lot of a 7-Eleven, and there's this van, beat-up van with both back doors open and a dirty mattress there, and a woman sitting inside on the mattress, and two guys, look like a family, a homeless family, and I invited them at church, and they're like, oh, well, we wouldn't want to come, with our clothes like this, and we don't have the laundromat. I literally had only 10, I just paid registration and everything, college student, I had no money. Bought all the books and everything. I'm registered. I at least have a room in the dorm room, but I got to get a job to stay there next month. And I had $10 in my pocket. And I said, well, look, I said, how about I give you this $10? I said, use five of it to go and go to the laundromat. Just give me the rest back tomorrow, and we'll pick you up on the bus, and we'll take you to church, and we'll have a meal for you and stuff. And then they're like, okay, yeah. So we pull over the bus the next day, and we get off, and I'm looking all around that parking lot for the van, and the bus captain, he says, what are you looking for? And I says, well, there was a van here the other day. I told him the story. He's just shaking his head. I said, what? They said they'd be here. And they weren't there. And that really hurt me because they lied to me and said, they lied to me. Maybe if I said, keep the whole 10 and come tomorrow, they would come. I don't know, but they lied to me. You just have to be careful who you give your alms to. I would say that people who beg on the streets of America today are different than people who begged on the streets in the Bible. In the Bible, we're going to see here in a minute, and bear with me because we're in church and we're having a good time. In the Bible here, we're going to see a man who was begging because he was lame. And his parents had him go out and beg to earn a living because they weren't going to let him just stay at home and feed him. He had to go work. So a lame man had to go out and beg alms. That was his job. Look there with me if you would. To Acts chapter 3. And while you're there, let me finish up this point here. Alms should not be given to lazy people. Alms should not be given to lazy people. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:9, he also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. I'm not talking about someone who doesn't have a job now because they're laid off or they're sick. I'm talking about someone who is completely healthy and refuses to go to work and wants to live off of everybody else. They don't need alms. They need to go get a job. So here I am. I was driving a shuttle bus for the farm show this last week, so I keep on the Weichel's insurance so we can continue to use their buses as a blessing. for our Sunday school pickup route. And I was down there a couple days throughout the week, and there was these two gentlemen at the corner of McClay and the main strip right there who were out there with signs, you know, homeless, need help. And, you know, one of my trips around in the shuttle, I see one of the men, you know, pull out a pack of cigarettes and light a cigarette. You know, when you're destitute, when you're so destitute you're out begging money, $8.24 a pack of cigarettes is a waste. That's a whole meal. That's a whole, well, now almost not a whole meal nowadays with inflation, but yes, could I have a small fry for $8.24? Okay. But generally, a great deal of the time, people that are homeless and on the street, and it's not across the board. I think you need to pray about it with every person you meet. But generally, people that are on the street today are there because they have an addiction to drugs or alcohol. And that's why they're there. And you giving them cash is just going to keep them there, because they're going to go get more drugs or alcohol. That's why you should either give them food, you know, or clothes. Because otherwise you're just fueling their addiction. There's a man who walks around this area, and he's got all of his belongings, you know, this big backpack, and he's carrying jugs of things to drink. And my heart went out to him, and I went, caught him in Walmart parking lot a couple years ago, and I was witnessing to him. And he said he believed, you know, differently and didn't want to hear about that. I'm like, okay. And I said, well, is there a way I could help you get a place to stay? He's like, no, I enjoy living outside. I said, well, could I help you get a job? He's like, no, I don't want to get a job. That man is married and owns a house, by the way. He just doesn't want to go home. Okay? He's got needs. Your alms aren't going to help. And really, he's taking advantage of people's generosity, I think. As much as he walks up and down, he could get a job. Okay? And I'm not trying to kill your generosity. What I'm trying to do is for you to pray about it and give alms, if you're going to give it, to people who really have a need, that's what they're going to use the alms for. Are you with me? You know, these people that travel, you know, there's people who know certain parts of the Bible that they're going to take advantage of you, like entertaining angels unawares. We're supposed to be kind to strangers and help them because you might be entertaining angels unawares, right? So you think, oh, this person asked for help, maybe he's an angel. So I don't know how many times I've had people drive up to the church and say, hey, pastor, I'm brother so-and-so from this place, and, you know, I'm on my way over here, and I just need some more gas money to get me down the road. And I said, what church do you go to up in New York? And he said, well, it's not really a church. Us guys just meet at McDonald's on Sunday mornings. Okay, for coffee, you know. Okay. And I said, so you're going to Oklahoma? I said, yeah. I said, well, how much money did you have when you left? Just about $100. I said, so could that get you to Oklahoma? Well, no. Do you have a job? Well, no, I haven't had a job. I haven't worked in a long time. You know what he's doing? He's taking advantage of God's people and their generosity. Now, we went down and put some fuel. I wasn't going to give him money, but went down and put some fuel in his truck. But come to find out, he was going to all the churches in the area asking for gas money. You have to be careful. Let me just help you with one thing. If you're going to give alms, because generally giving alms is taking what you have to meet someone else's needs. If you're going to give alms, start with the people you know. Start with the people you know. If you've helped everybody that you know, and then someone outside of the people you know needs help too, I mean, if Brother Hoffman, they needed groceries, Tornado came through, knocked down their house, took their deep freezers away. They needed groceries. And someone I didn't know came up and asked me for groceries. Either give half to both or give it to the person you know because you know they really do need groceries. Are you with me? I'm not saying close up your generosity. I'm saying use it wisely. We should be looking for needs to fill and meet them, but start with the people you know. Let's see here. Look at Matthew chapter 25. Well, I know I had you somewhere else, but look at Matthew chapter 25. Everybody okay? Matthew 25, 31 says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And this is those who have accepted Jesus Christ dying on the cross for their sins. And then notice what he says in verse 35. For I was an hungered, and ye gave who? You gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? Verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, who? My brethren. Who are the brethren of Christ? Those who are saved. He said, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, my brother. Now, who's the least in the church? Little kids, right? Who's the most vulnerable? Who's the most vulnerable? The children? Widows? Inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, what's he say? Ye have done it unto me. So what's amazing here to me, a cup of water can be alms. Seeing their need for food, seeing their need for clothes, and he's talking about my brethren. So who's the brethren of Christ? The saved. May I just say, if you're going to give alms this year, you should start by looking at the needs of those in your church family. And if you know needs of those in your church family, meet those needs first, then look outside. Now, obviously, I'm not saying if something presents yourself, a need seen is an assignment given. I'm not saying if something presents itself to you that you'd say, oh, well, you're not part of my church. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that if you're looking, if you have alms to give and you're looking to give alms, look first at the needs of the people in your church. Then move outside the church. I'm not saying don't go outside the church. I'm saying then move outside the church. Because this is usually what happens. We'll meet the needs of people outside the church and the needs inside the church go unhelped. That's why I'm saying this. And maybe you say, well, that kind of sounds like it's reversed, but like it's backwards, but it says in 40, as much as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren. So yes, alms can be given to any family you see that needs it, but specifically, alms should be given to those who are saved and in need before alms are given to those who are lost in need. Why? Because if you can give alms to someone who's saved and in need and get them into a place where they're on their feet again, then you have two people who can give alms. But if you're only helping people outside the church and they don't have the Spirit of Christ in them and maybe they're not giving-minded, you're not going to reap alms through alms. Does that make sense? If you can help people in the church, and they say, "Man, I'm blessed now. I'm good now," and then they see a need, you just multiplied our way. You just multiplied our ability to help others. But a lot of people's giving in the church dries up because they see people helping people outside the church and not helping people's needs in the church. And that can dry up your giving and generosity and compassion as well. Look at Acts chapter 3. I know you're there before. Go back there now. And I'm going to be very quick. We might make it a part 2. I don't know. Maybe we will. Maybe we'll make it a part 2. What alms are. You know, James 2:15, while you're turning there in 16, says, "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you saying to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" Acts chapter 3, and we'll close with this passage this morning. Verse 1, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received the strength. And he leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him." So the man sitting and asking for alms, look, he knew, he saw everyone who gave him alms. Does that mean that it was no longer alms? Does that mean that just because he knew that if you gave him alms that God wouldn't reward you later? No, you didn't come in with a trumpet. Do-do-do-do, coming to give you some alms, buddy. Oh, thank you so much. Yep, no problem. We'll see you another time. You know, even that's alms, but you got your reward. You got praise of men. You're not going to get the praise of God from doing that. Notice he was working. That's all he could do. That's all this guy could do here. So he's not lazy. And let me say, there are people who are incapacitated physically. They cannot go to work. I'm not saying that that's laziness. I'm not saying we can't help those people. But I am saying specifically, if there's people who stand, and look, those guys down in Harrisburg, they stood in that corner for 8 hours a day. You can stand as a cashier in Walmart for 8 hours a day then and make better money. Well, maybe, maybe not. If you're that able-bodied, you could go get a job, yep. Right? So he saw, we'll make this a part two, he saw the people giving him alms, but that didn't remove the reward, and next week we're going to see a centurion who everyone knew gave alms. Now, why would everyone know he gave alms? He didn't sound a trumpet. He's a centurion. He's a Roman centurion, the conqueror, giving alms to the people he conquered, and he was praying to God. Why did all the Jews know this guy gave alms? Do you think it's because he only gave alms once? Why do you think everybody knew he gave alms? He gave alms all the time to whoever needed help. That's why he was well known about that. But it did not remove his reward because his alms came up to God. Because he wasn't sounding a trumpet. He was doing it because he loved God. Even though he's a Roman, he ends up getting saved. Put some of you to sleep. Apologize. In closing this morning, before we go into next week, look just to touch on this again. It's okay to give to others. It's okay to help others. It's okay to, if you see a need, to fill it. But specifically, I'm trying to help you understand that alms specifically go to meet a need. That's what alms are. Alms isn't just giving money to everybody and sending gifts here, and I'm going to give alms to the guy in the back. Here's some money. There's an alms. No, unless God has told you to do it, or unless you see a need and God tells you to fill it, it's not alms. It's nice. It's a gift. It's generous. It's charity, but it's not alms. Alms is only to meet a need. Are you with me? Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for times in my family's life somebody gave alms. You touched them and knew we needed food. You touched them and knew we needed a vehicle once. God, you touched them when I was in high school and had them bring food to our family, something we needed. And I thank you, Lord, for those who are sensitive to the Holy Spirit and His touch, and whose compassion and generosity have not been wounded to where they don't want to give anymore. God, I've been there before. I've been grieved and felt taken advantage of to the point where I did not want to help anyone anymore. But Lord, you just remind me of how much you gave to me and how much I wounded you, and that opened up my bowels of mercies again, and help me, Lord, just to seek to give in a way that was responsible, Lord, so it really would go towards a need. And Lord, it really was alms and something you wanted done. And I thank you for every single person in this room, Heavenly Father, who you have used and who have been willing to be used to give to help someone else's need in their lifetime. Lord, when we stand before you, we won't be sorry. And you'll thank us for feeding you, for giving you a drink, for clothing you, Lord, because when we do it to a brother or sister in Christ, we help a brother and sister in Christ's need, we're helping you. Lord, help us to look at the church family and those who are saved as the heavenly family and treat them like you would treat family. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.